The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
If you'd like to be seated. I'd like to say good morning and a very warm welcome to everybody to our celebration of Holy Communion for this Pentecost Sunday. Pentecost is the day in which the Church celebrates the most wonderful gift of God's Holy Spirit. And today in our service, we're going to be reflecting on a special experience of God's Holy Spirit here in our own province. And we're going to be praying for a fresh outpouring of God's Spirit in our own day. We want to say welcome as well this morning to everybody who's joining us on the live stream and to everybody who is listening on the dial-up service. We're delighted to have everybody together with us as we worship together on this Pentecost Sunday. Just wanted to mention some notices for the week that is to come. As most people will be aware now, we're now operating an online booking system for our morning service. And so thank you to everybody for cooperating and helping us with that. We also want to say that if people don't use the internet and can't manage that system, which is on the church's website and Facebook page, do please have a word with the wardens and they would be happy to book you in for the following Sunday. And also, if you don't manage to do that, you can telephone the parish office on a Tuesday or Wednesday morning between 9 and 2, and Linda would be happy to get you booked in for the morning service. Just in terms of notices for the week that is to come, our Alpha course is continuing this Wednesday evening at 8 o'clock, and on Thursday evening, the parish prayer meeting takes place over Zoom at 7 o'clock. Also this coming Thursday evening, Fields of Life are hosting a special event. Many people will be aware of our links with Fields of Life and their work in Uganda and in East Africa. And they're running a special event online this coming Thursday at 8 o'clock. And it's called A Time to Sow. And it's looking at the impact of COVID-19 on education, in particular in Uganda. And you'll be able to tune in if you go onto the Fields of Life YouTube channel or their Facebook page. And that's happening at 8 o'clock on Thursday evening. Our service is next Sunday, our morning prayer at 11 o'clock and evening prayer at 7 o'clock. And as we come together this morning, the choir are going to be leading us in our hymns. We're hoping it won't be long now before we're allowed to sing softly behind masks, but it's wonderful to have the choir to lead us until we get that permission. And they're going to lead us in our opening hymn, which is a prayer for this Pentecost Sunday. Let every Christian pray.
Thank you.
Our service this morning is the service of Holy Communion. Let us pray. We pray together, Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hidden, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name, through Christ our Lord. Amen. Hear what our Lord Jesus Christ says. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment, and the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments depend all the law and the prophets. Lord, have mercy on us, and write these your laws in our hearts. God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, Jesus Christ, to save us from our sins, to intercede for us in heaven, and to bring us to eternal life. Let us then confess our sins in penitence and faith, firmly resolved to keep God's commandments and to live in love and peace. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, we have sinned in thought and word and deed, and in what we have left undone. We are truly sorry, and we humbly repent. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us and forgive us, that we may walk in newness of life, to the glory of your name. Amen. Almighty God, who forgives all who truly repent, have mercy on you, pardon and deliver you from all your sins, confirm and strengthen you in all goodness, and keep you in eternal life, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. And in response to God's forgiveness, we're going to stand together as we say the words, "Glory to God in the highest." Glory to God in the highest. Glory to God in the highest. And peace to God's people on earth. Lord God, Heavenly King, Almighty God and Father, we worship you, we give you thanks, we praise you for your glory. Lord Jesus Christ, only Son of the Father, Lord God, Lamb of God, you take away the sin of the world, have mercy on us. You are seated at the right hand of the Father. Receive our prayer. For you alone are the Holy One. You alone are the Lord. You alone are the Most High, Jesus Christ, with the Holy Spirit, in the glory of God the Father. Amen. And our special collect prayer for this, the feast day of Pentecost. Almighty God, who on the day of Pentecost sent your Holy Spirit to the apostles with the wind from heaven and in tongues of flame, filling them with joy and boldness to preach the gospel. By the power of the same Spirit, strengthen us to witness to your truth and to draw everyone to the fire of your love, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. And if you'd like to be seated for our first reading. Our first reading today is from the Acts of the Apostles, chapter 2, beginning to read at verse 1. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Now there were staying in Jerusalem God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. When they heard this sound, a crowd came together in bewilderment because each one heard them speaking in his own language. Utterly amazed, they asked, "Are not all these men who are speaking Galileans? Then how is it that each of us hears them in his own native language? Parthians, Medes, and Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, Judea, and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya near Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and converts to Judaism, Cretans and Arabs, we hear them declaring the wonders of God in our own tongues." Amazed and perplexed, they asked one another, "What does this mean?" Some, however, made fun of them and said, "They have had too much wine." Then Peter stood up with the 11, raised his voice and addressed the crowd. "Fellow Jews and all of you who live in Jerusalem, let me explain this to you. Listen carefully to what I say. These men are not drunk, as you suppose. It's only 9 in the morning. No, this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they will prophesy. I will show wonders in the heaven above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and billows of smoke. The sun will be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the great and glorious day of the Lord. And everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved." Here ends our epistle reading. Hear the words of the gospel of our Savior Jesus Christ according to St. John in the 15th chapter, beginning at the 26th verse.
Glory to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Jesus said, "When the Counselor comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth, who goes out from the Father, he will testify about me. And you also must testify, for you have been with me from the beginning." This is the gospel of the Lord. We believe in one God.
We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven, was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary, and was made man. For our sake he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day he rose again, in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son is worshipped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy, Catholic, and Apostolic Church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. And now the choir are going to lead us as they sing the hymn, "Breathe on Me, Breath of God." May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be now and always acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. I wonder what sorts of things make you feel fully alive. And as we begin to think about restrictions easing, I know that for some people it's that process of entertaining friends and loved ones. And there's something very life-giving about preparing food and giving people an opportunity just to be together, to enjoy good food and good company. And maybe company is one of those things that we've really been missing over this past year and a half. Others get great life from more solitary pursuits, maybe like painting or fishing or using their hands to create something with wood or metal or with glass. And today, as we celebrate the feast day of Pentecost, a day when new spiritual life was poured out on the church, we might never know precisely what happened on that first day of Pentecost. But what we do know is that it was one of the supremely great days of the Christian church. But today I want to take you back with me on a bit of a historical journey. The year is 1856, and an English lady, a Mrs. Colville, visited the town of Ballymena. She had a very powerful spiritual experience during her stay there. In fact, she experienced God
in a very personal way, bringing hope and forgiveness and salvation to her very soul. And Mrs. Colville started to tell other people about her experience. But not everybody liked it. In fact, her relatives became very angry, and they believed that she had lost her mind. And they became so embittered at her words and her behavior since this spiritual experience that she had that they threw her out of her home, and she became a wanderer. Mrs. Colville became eventually a missionary of the Baptist Missionary Society in England. But everywhere she went, she couldn't help but speak about this incredible spiritual experience she'd had in Ballymena. And eventually her work brought her back to Ulster. And one day, as she was speaking to a young woman who was dying, she spoke to this woman about things relating to eternal peace. And her conversation was overheard by a young man called James McQuilkin. And he sought out Mrs. Colville for further conversation about the conversation that he had overheard. And over the next 2 years, of 1857 to 1858, in a small schoolhouse in Kells in County Antrim, every Friday night, this young man, James McQuilkin, and three of his other friends, James Manealy, John Wallace, and Robert Carlyle, they met together every Friday evening to read the Bible and to pray for God's power to set Ulster ablaze. And initially, nothing really seemed to happen. The churches actually in Northern Ireland in the 1850s were in a state of general slumber. One minister complained that he could not even get his people to meet together to pray. And a banking collapse in the United States began to have an impact on the economy here. But then news began to filter across the Atlantic about the way that God was touching people's lives in a powerful way in the United States. And as these four young men continued to meet every Friday evening to pray for this land, a new awareness of God came over the people. Ministers who previously had little to do now found themselves being flooded with inquirers about the Christian faith. Conversions began to happen in people's hearts, and there was a new urgency for prayer. And the ripples began to spread right across the province. In the town of Coleraine, so many people turned up to a prayer meeting one evening that the building was in danger of collapse. And the Holy Spirit moved so powerfully on that gathering that hundreds of people fell to the ground crying for God to have mercy upon them and upon their land. People of all ages and classes earnestly sought to have a relationship with God, and they received the power of the Holy Spirit. And a deep conviction of sin spread far and wide right around this province. It wasn't uncommon in those years for three or four different meetings to be in progress at the same time on the same street, as people had such a hunger to pray. An interesting particular feature of this revival was the work of God among children and teenagers. And an estimated 100,000 people, which was a significant percentage of the whole population of Ulster, was swept into the churches by this wave of God's power. And in fact, the reality for many of us who are here in church today is that probably your ancestors were among those directly affected by this famous revival of 1859. And because of its impact on them, the likelihood is that you too were touched by the message of the gospel as one generation passed the faith on to another. But there is a sense that this wave has been running out of steam. We heard in our first reading today about the day of Pentecost, and it was called the first revival, one of those unusual visitations of God in which the whole community became vividly aware of his immediate, overpowering presence. The wind and the fire that we heard about in the book of Acts, those were abnormal or supernatural things. And probably this speaking of foreign languages too was something very strange. But there are other features of the day of Pentecost that are actually not so unusual for the life of God's church today. The new life and joy, the fellowship and the worship, the freedom and the boldness of believers to share their newfound faith and their power to bring Christ's presence and his healing. Those have become things that were the new normal for those who believe and trust in him. And so on that day of Pentecost, the first day of Pentecost, it was time for God to be born again. Not in one body as he was when Jesus came, but actually in a body of believing people who would receive the breath of life from the Lord and then pass that breath on using their own bodies to distribute the gift of his Holy Spirit. Amazing and incredible things happened in the 1850s through one woman, Mrs. Colville, sharing her faith, and then four young men praying with passion and desire for God to do something powerful in the life of this land. And I guess my question on this day of Pentecost 2021 is, do we still believe in a God who blows through closed doors and sets our hearts and heads on fire? Do we still believe in a God who has power to transform us, both as individuals and as a society? Or maybe we've just come to an unspoken agreement that our God is actually pretty old and tired by now. He's someone to whom we might address our prayers, but maybe he's not actually anyone that we would really expect to change our lives. If you've been listening to the news this week, as I have a little bit, you'll be conscious that our society is in a pretty desperate place at this time. Politics are riven by internal divisions, and there's the underlying threat of violence spilling over onto the streets if certain objectives aren't achieved. Nations seem to hate each other with a force and a ferocity that makes them think it's acceptable to launch rocket attacks from schools and hospitals, knowing that the inevitable retaliation will cause the loss of many hundreds of innocent lives. God is no longer on the radar or the frame of reference for so many people in our country,
other than being a swear word or an object of scorn or ridicule. And I guess my thought today is that if just four young men could release the spark of God's Holy Spirit through prayer and repentance, think of what a congregation of 60 or 70 or 80 might do as we humbly and sincerely pray that ancient prayer, "Come, Holy Spirit, and fall afresh on us." Let us pray. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, you promised through your Son, Jesus Christ, to hear the prayers of those who ask in faith. We pray for your church throughout the world, for this diocese, and for David, our bishop. And as we give thanks today for the gift of your Holy Spirit and for the power of that same Spirit to transform individuals' lives and the life of our society, we ask today for a fresh outpouring on our land and our world to heal divisions and to bring new spiritual life and peace and hope to people's lives and the hope of eternal life. Lord, in your mercy, we pray for the nations of the world, and today we pray for that ceasefire to hold between Israel and Gaza. We pray today for aid to reach those who are in most desperate need, and we ask for courageous leadership to build and to establish peace after so much violence and hatred. We also want to continue to pray this morning for the situation in India as it seeks to halt the spread of COVID-19, asking for wisdom, strength, and resources for all who work on the front line of this battle. Lord, in your mercy, we pray for the sick and the poor and those in any kind of trouble. We pray especially for all who are battling long-term illnesses, particularly at a time of isolation. We remember those suffering with MS and MND, Parkinson's and Alzheimer's and dementia, those who are receiving treatment for cancer. We also pray for all those who are offering care and support in people's families and through care in the community. And we pray for the healing presence of your Holy Spirit to bring the help that is needed to each particular situation. And we just take a moment now to bring people that we know and love into God's healing presence. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Merciful Father, accept these our prayers for the sake of your Son, our Savior Jesus Christ, who taught us to pray, our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. Amen.
we do not presume. We do not presume to come to this your table, merciful Lord, trusting in our own righteousness, but in your manifold and great mercies. We are not worthy so much as to gather up the crumbs under your table, but you are the same Lord, whose nature is always to have mercy. Grant us, therefore, gracious Lord, so to eat the flesh of your dear Son, Jesus Christ, and to drink his blood, that our sinful bodies may be made clean by his body, and our souls washed through his most precious blood, and that we may evermore dwell in him, and he in us. Amen. Jesus said, "A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another, even as I have loved you, that you also love one another. The peace of the Lord be always with you."
And also with you.
Now the choir are going to lead us in the singing of the hymn, "Come Down, O Love Divine." Christ, our Passover, has been sacrificed for us. Therefore, let us celebrate the feast. The Lord is here.
His Spirit is with us.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. Father, Lord of all creation, we praise you for your goodness and your love. When we turned away, you did not reject us. You came to meet us in your Son, welcomed us as your children, and prepared a table where we might feast with you. In Christ, you shared our life, that we might live in him and he in us. He opened wide his arms upon the cross, and with love stronger than death, he made the perfect sacrifice for sin. Lord Jesus Christ, our Redeemer, on the night before you died, you came to table with your friends. Taking bread, you gave thanks, broke it, and gave it to them, saying, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me."
Lord Jesus, we bless you. You are the bread of life.
At the end of supper, you took the cup of wine, gave thanks, and said, "Drink this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this in remembrance of me." Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. Dying, you destroyed our death. Rising, you restored our life. Lord Jesus, come in glory. Holy Spirit, giver of life, come upon us now. May this bread and wine be to us the body and blood of our Savior, Jesus Christ. As we eat and drink these holy gifts, make us, who know our need of grace, one in Christ, our risen Lord. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, blessed Trinity, with your whole church throughout the world, we offer you this sacrifice of thanks and praise, and lift our voice to join the song of heaven, forever praising you and saying, "Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Thanks be to you, our God, for your gift beyond words.
Amen. Amen. Amen."
The bread which we break is a sharing in the body of Christ.
We believe in many are one body, for we all share in one bread.
In a moment's time, we will be receiving Holy Communion, and if you haven't been back to church before, we just stay in our seats, and you will receive communion in one kind only, which is the guidance at the present time. And as we receive communion today, there will be two pieces of music played. The first piece of music is a piece that has been written by a worship group here in the diocese in a neighboring church, and it's a prayer for God's revival upon our land. The second piece of music is a piece of music which we're being allowed to use with permission from the Taizé community in France, as we hear Christians from around the world singing and praying together that ancient prayer, "Come, Holy Spirit." And so we invite everybody to draw near with faith and to receive the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, which he gave for you. Remember that he died for you, and feed on him in your hearts by faith with thanksgiving.
wanna see, we wanna know revival. We wanna see, we wanna know revival. Send revival.
Faithful God, who fulfill the promises of Easter by sending us your Holy Spirit and opening to every race and nation the way of life eternal, open our lips by your Spirit, that every tongue may tell of your glory, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. And we pray together, Almighty God. Almighty God, we thank you for feeding us with the spiritual food of the body and blood of your Son, Jesus Christ. Through him, we offer you our souls and bodies to be a living sacrifice. Send us out in the power of your Spirit to live and work to your praise and glory. Amen. May the Spirit of truth lead you into all truth, give you grace to confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, and to proclaim the words and works of God. And may the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be upon you and remain with you this day and forevermore. Amen. Thank you so much to everybody for joining with us in our worship today, whether you're at home or you're here in church with us. And as our service draws to a close, our closing hymn is again a prayer that the breath of God would sweep through our land. As the choir lead us in the singing of the hymn, O Breath of Life.